We talked some last week about knowledge, and this morning we want to continue on that topic. We want to ask the question this morning, what do you know? There was a man that I know who every time he would meet with someone he already knew or didn't know, it doesn't matter, he would come up to him and as he shook their hand he'd say, well, what do you know? And he kept asking me this time and again, and finally I got to the point where I started telling him what I knew. And, you know, he wasn't really all that interested when I told him I knew my ABCs and I knew how to count and on and on about all the little things that I knew. But as we think about what we know, we have to realize that there are different levels of knowledge and there are different qualities of knowledge. Some people know a whole lot about nothing. And some people know nothing about a lot. We have to be sure that we know the things that we need to know and are working to learn those things. If you turn over to the back of your outline, if you haven't looked at the back of it yet, on there we have a little quiz for you to take. And I know this is kind of unusual. You don't usually have pop quizzes in Bible class and certainly not in Sunday morning worship, but we want to think about these things just real briefly as we look at what we know and what we don't know. The first little section there called Bible or Not, I actually got this from Ed, the secretary over at Jackson Street in Alexandria. He used it on us preachers at the last preachers meeting to see how much of the Bible we knew. And I actually wrote down the answers to all of them somewhere, and I can't find the paper I wrote it down on. So I'm going to have to get you to help me answer these questions because I can't remember. But look at these statements that are made and think about these things. Are these things that are written in the Bible or not? God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. What do you think? That's not. That's not in the Bible. Some might think it is, though. Number two, and though I give my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. That one is. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Number three, let your moderation be known to all men. That one is as well. That's in Philippians. Number four, when I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. No, that one's not. That's actually some Taoist philosophy. Number five, let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die. How about that one? Yeah, that one's in there. That one's in there. I think Ezekiel, and I think it also is repeated in the book of Acts because there were some who were saying that, not necessarily because the Bible believes that we should live that way. Remember that sometimes the Bible quotes things that other people said. But it is in there. It's written in there. Number six, a man may well bring a horse to water, but he cannot make him drink. Well, I know you've heard that one before, but that's not in the Bible. Number seven, will you stand alone before the fury of his armies? Kind of sounds like something one of the prophets might have said, doesn't it? But it's not. That actually came from a movie. Our peace shall stand as firm as rocky mountains. All right, you know, a lot in the Bible about peace. That kind of sounds like it might be in there too, but it's not. Number nine, neither a borrower nor a lender be. That sounds like something out of Proverbs. We've been studying Proverbs on Sunday morning, and there is, we haven't gotten to the money sections yet, but there is a lot about borrowing and lending in the book of Proverbs, but that particular one comes from Shakespeare, not from the Bible. Number 10, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship which had wintered in the island, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Not that one. Kind of weird. That is. That's something Paul did and Luke wrote about in the book of Acts. Number 11, despite your several insults, despite your horrid blasphemies, the Lord of hosts is prepared to forgive all and more to reward your service. What about that? Hmm. Well, God's a very forgiving God. What do you think? Well, actually, again, no. That's another quote from a movie. Number 12. The Lord God moves in mysterious ways. You know the rest of that phrase, don't you? His wonders to perform. But that's not in the Bible either. That's actually from a song. A song that sometimes is sung in church. But think about those things. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't know for sure. Well, that kind of sounds like maybe it is, maybe it's not. I'm not so sure. We don't have a good enough knowledge sometimes to know for sure. And I know the Bible is a big book. And I doubt that there's anybody alive today, although I guess there might be somewhere, but I haven't met them yet, certainly, and haven't even heard about it. But maybe there's somebody out there somewhere that knows it all, that's memorized the whole Bible. I haven't met them yet. There used to be. You know, back before television and all of the internet and all of the things that we have to distract us, there used to be people who actually pretty much quote the entire Bible, knew it all, because they studied it so extensively throughout their lives. But we're not like that anymore. We depend on being able to look a verse up in a concordance or search for it on a computer or something like that instead of depending on our own minds to remember those things and to know those things. The problem is sometimes when we need that knowledge of God's Word, there may not be a computer or a concordance handy for us to grab. That's why the Bible teaches us over and over again to hear these things and to put the Word of Christ in our heart. To have these things in us so that we know them. Well, on the bottom part, and somehow when I printed it, it looked fine on my computer, but when I printed it, it cut off the bottom two of the Bible verses and stuck them on the next page. So they didn't get on yours, so you only have, you have seven and then five. How about those? You recognize those? The milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hands, right? And what company is that? Oh, we know that one. That's those yummy little M&Ms, isn't it? So thick it stands up to the fork test, right? And what's that? Well, that's chunky soup, isn't it? When it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight, we send that FedEx. The younger folks may not know that one. That one's been around for a while. Been out of circulation for a while. Raise your hand if you're sure. That sure deodorant. You're in good hands with Allstate. Recognize that one? Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. Almond Joy and Mounds. And then number seven, have it your way. That's Burger King. Those certainly aren't Bible, are they? But you know, it's amazing how many of you recognize those. How many of you could complete those, boy, without even hardly thinking about it. Because you've seen them, heard them so many times, you remember them. But what about those Bible verses at the bottom? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Number two, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him might not perish but have everlasting life. Number three, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, the King James says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now the question we have to ask after reading that one is, do we hunger and thirst after righteousness or not? You know, what we spend our time putting into our mind is what's going to be there when we need it. And when we come up on a face of temptation, you know, when Jesus was tempted three times He was tempted by Satan, and each time he came back and quoted Scripture. You know, when we're facing a temptation, the little jingle, the milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hands, is really not going to help us a whole lot. But knowing that God will not tempt us beyond what we're able to bear, but with each temptation provides a way of escape, that may help us to be able to overcome that temptation. Knowing some other passages may help us to overcome that temptation, just like it helped Jesus to be able to quote those scriptures back to Satan. But sometimes we know the wrong things. I mean, think about what we really know. Can you name the characters on your favorite TV show? Well, what about the 12 apostles? Can you name all the different flavors of your favorite food? Well, what about the fruits of the Spirit? Can you name those? A lot of these kinds of things. How much time do we spend putting into our mind things that in the scope of eternity are not going to matter? And how little time do we sometimes spend putting into our minds the things that really will prepare us to live in this world as godly people should, and prepare us to have an eternal life after this one? So what do you know? Well, we want to notice four things about knowledge this morning. First of all, we want to notice that knowledge can be a blessing. Knowledge can be a blessing. If it is from the right source, it can be a blessing. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Now that doesn't mean that all knowledge comes from God. There are some things that we shouldn't know. There are some things, some sources of knowledge that we shouldn't seek. The Bible tells us to avoid witchcraft. Even in the Old Testament, in the times of Saul, he went to that witch of Endor. She was supposed to talk to the dead. The Bible tells us to avoid that kind of thing. Not to have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. So there are some sources of knowledge, godly sources of knowledge, that are good things to know. But then there are other sources of knowledge that we need to avoid. There are things that are dangerous to us. But also, knowledge can be a blessing if it is attainable. We have to learn the difference between what we can know and what we can't. Or we will spend our entire lives seeking after knowledge that we can't have. First Timothy 2:4 says that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now that doesn't mean we'll know everything, but there is a truth out there. And God wants us to come to that knowledge. It is attainable. We can know the truth. In fact, one of those Bible quotes that got cut off of your page that I had on there is number 6, is, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." The truth is an important thing to know. Because we live in a world today where a lot of people deny the very existence of truth. Well, you got your truth and I got my truth, and my truth may not be your truth. Well, wait a minute. Truth is truth. It doesn't change from person to person. Unfortunately, knowledge is not a blessing for some people because they never do attain it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7 says of a particular group of people there that they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there are a lot of people, they're always in that way. Well, I want to learn, but they never learn it. They never get the knowledge of it. They're always trying to learn, but never learning. And that's a sad thing. We don't want to be in that boat, because the only way that knowledge can bless us is if we actually attain that knowledge. I may be dying of some sort of disease, and it may be a disease that someone somewhere has found a cure for. But if I don't know about the cure, well, that doesn't do me any good. It doesn't help me. If I can't attain the knowledge, then I'm still going to die. And so, we realize how important the attainability of truth is. problem a lot of people have, the truth, the ability to be saved from your sins, is here in the Scriptures. Unfortunately, sometimes people are seeking it other places, and so they never attain it. They never find it. They go looking at the New Age religion, and they look at the Muslim religion, or they look at this religion or that religion, and they never can attain the truth and the knowledge of that truth. Knowledge is also a blessing when it is joined with wisdom. You ever met somebody who knows a lot, but they haven't got the common sense to use what they know? They just don't have any wisdom at all. They know. They can tell you, but then they turn around and don't do anything like they should because they don't have any wisdom. They haven't put that knowledge to a practical use. They haven't got wisdom to go along with it and understanding. You know, I thought about bringing I've got a copy of a Greek New Testament in there. And boy, I tell you what, I learned how in Greek, I was taught how to pronounce all those little squiggly lines. So I can read Greek. Unfortunately, I really don't understand much of it. So I could read it, and you could hear it, and you could learn it, and I could even teach you to quote it. I could teach you to quote a verse in Greek. But if you didn't know what verse it was or what it meant in English, it really wouldn't do you a whole lot of good. Understanding and wisdom are a very important part of making knowledge a blessing. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." You notice what he says? He wants you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's an important part of it. That's what's going to make it a blessing. In fact, having the knowledge without wisdom can really be more of a curse. Without the understanding, it's more of a curse than a blessing. And that brings us to our second point. Obviously, the opposites of all of these blessings, if you didn't have them, it would be a curse. The second thing we want to notice is that knowledge can be a curse. It can be a curse if it is used to harm others. You think back to the Dark Ages, when there were people who had the Bible, and they knew the Bible, but they wouldn't let others have it. They harmed others by hoarding that knowledge away from them. But you know, sometimes knowledge that could be a good thing can also be used to harm people. We think about nuclear power. Now, I don't understand how that all works. I'm not a nuclear engineer or scientist of any sort like that. But I do know that they have nuclear power plants where they use that nuclear power to make electricity, which is a good thing. But I also know they have nuclear bombs that they use to blow things up. Well, see, how you use that knowledge can make the difference in whether it's beneficial or harmful, whether it's a blessing or a curse. Well, it'd be a blessing in a lot of the third world countries to build nuclear power plants so they could have electricity. But boy, if the terrorists got their hands on it and started blowing it up or making dirty bombs with radiation that killed a bunch of people, then it'd be a bad thing, wouldn't it? So we've got to understand that knowledge may be used to harm others. And in fact, even in religious matters, 1 Corinthians 8, 10 and 11, Paul talks about this. "For if any man sees you which have knowledge..." And he's talked about the fact that we know there's no such thing as an idol, that you know God's the only real God, and those idols are nothing but stone or whatever. He said, we know that. He says, but if someone sees you who have that knowledge sit to eat the meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through your knowledge, the weak brother shall perish for whom Christ died. He said, this other person may go in there and violate their conscience. They might think they're worshiping this idol and go ahead and do it anyway because they saw you do it. See, sometimes knowledge can be harmful. We can hurt other people with our knowledge, even in spiritual realms. But knowledge can also be a curse if it causes arrogance, and sometimes it does. There in 1 Corinthians 8, in verse number 1, Paul talks about that. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. He says love and knowledge are kind of opposites in a way. You ever known a know-it-all? You ever met somebody who had to rub your face in it, that they knew something and you didn't know it? And maybe we've all been that way at times, you know, because when we get some knowledge that somebody else doesn't have, we kind of like to show off, don't we? We like to, you know, oh, look what I know that you don't know. See, that knowledge puffs up us up, and it makes us kind of arrogant, and that's not a good thing. That makes it a curse rather than a blessing. You know, sometimes there are people who will not become Christians because someone who approached them with the gospel had an arrogant attitude. They were haughty. And so that person was offended and pushed away from learning the truth. Now, obviously that person is still going to have to answer for their sins in the day of judgment. But oh, we don't want to be the one that pushes somebody else away because we're arrogant with our knowledge. It's good to have knowledge. But with knowledge, we need to keep some humility. We need to be reminded, no matter how much we learn and how much we know, we need to always keep in mind, we need to always be reminded that we don't know it all, and there's a lot we don't know. And we need to keep that in mind. When we think about how much we know and how much more there is we don't know, that should cause us all to be a little humble in our lives. But it can also be a curse, knowledge can, if it is withheld from those who need it. Now there is sometimes a case where some knowledge isn't needed. But Romans 11:33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law. You know, there's an amazing thing that it seems like people are obsessed sometimes with finding out the thing they can't find out. And you may have somebody out here who will spend 50 years of their life searching for the lost Ark of the Covenant. Where did that thing go? What happened to it? And you know what? If God wanted us to know where it was, we'd know where it was. He didn't want us to know that. He didn't need us to know that. But instead, they'll spend all their 50 years of their lives, and boy, they'll spend day after day, hour after hour, lose sleep trying to find that Ark of the Covenant, when even if they find it, it can't save them. And yet, they've got right here available to them what God has told us we need to know to be saved and to go to heaven, and they don't spend any time studying it, other than trying to go back and see if there's some clue to where the Ark of the Covenant got lost back there somewhere in the Old Testament. But they spend all that time on that. And how often, oh, we may not be out searching for the Ark of the Covenant, but sometimes we spend so much time majoring in minors and minoring in the majors. We forget what's really important in the Scriptures, and we spend all of our time focusing on some little semantical type argument about, well, if this word right here, when that word, there's 15 other verses that tell you what you need to do, and you're worried about whether that one word in some other verse is translated right. It becomes a curse sometimes when that knowledge is withheld, but we become obsessed with finding that knowledge. We need to beware of that. Sometimes some of that knowledge God withheld from us for our own good. But sometimes, of course, knowledge may be withheld by others. In the New Testament, Jesus condemned the Pharisees because they knew the law, but they weren't entering in. And they were keeping others who wanted to go into the kingdom of God, they were keeping them out. They were keeping them from that knowledge that they could have been saved by. I hope that we're not ever guilty of that, of keeping the knowledge of God from others who need it. Instead, we need to be in the business of giving it to as many as possible. Well, knowledge can be useful. The third thing we want to notice, knowledge can be useful if it is accurate. You know, some people know a lot. It's just that everything they know is wrong. But they know a lot. We've got to have the right truth. John 8:32, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Nothing else. The lies can't do it. Twisted truth can't do it. You've got to have the truth for it to be useful to you. It's got to be accurate. You know, just a little bit of difference. You think about, I took a class on chemistry, and it was fun seeing all those experiments. I don't know how much I actually learned, but it was fun watching these experiments. And you know, there is a huge difference in putting some salt in water and in putting sodium or chloride in water. Salt is sodium chloride. Well, that's one of the salts anyway, but that's salt, sodium chloride. And you can put salt in some water and it'll help flavor up some food that you're cooking or whatever. But you know, if you put sodium in water, well, it causes a reaction and actually catches fire. I watched the chemistry teacher drop some in there. It was pretty cool. And you know, if you put chlorine in water, well, maybe a little bit might not be too bad, but you put a lot of chlorine in that water and it can kill you if you drink it. So that salt can be a good thing, but the chloride or chlorine can be a bad thing. See, having accurate information. I don't know how many people have, because they nurse looked at the chart and read the thing wrong and gave them the wrong shot or gave them the wrong medicine, and you know, people die because of those things happening. There's the information, the knowledge isn't accurate. And so we need to be sure that we're getting the accurate knowledge from the Scriptures. And then, of course, it's useful if it's accepted. We have to accept what the Bible teaches. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 says that we need to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, sometimes we know the truth, but we don't want to accept it. I was talking with someone recently who has been told that they're dying, terminal situation. You're going to die, don't have long to live. And this person looked at me and said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, I know, and you know, that there have been people who have been told they were terminal, and yet through prayer and things that they lived on for quite some time. And I understand the idea of having hope that maybe something could still change, that there might be something that could fix the situation. But just to reject out of hand and say, well, I don't believe what the doctor told me. Well, that's a dangerous thing, because if you don't believe what the doctor told you, you're still in the same boat. A lot of times people are told certain things. We talked about in class this morning with children. Sometimes those children are told, you know, don't touch that, it's hot, but they don't believe it. They don't accept it, so they go over there and touch it anyway. Sometimes we do the same thing. God says, don't do this, it's a sin, it's going to bring suffering into your life. But we don't accept that. We think we're smarter than God, and so we go do whatever we want to do anyway. And then it brings the suffering and pain into our lives, and we can't figure out why. Well, I don't understand what's happening to me. Well, we should, because exactly what God said would happen is happening. But then it can also be useful if it is retained. You know, knowledge can be forgotten. A lot of knowledge throughout the history of the world has been forgotten. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that has washed to her wallowing in the mire." We've got to watch out. It's easy to have some knowledge and then lose it. So we've got to retain that knowledge. And one of the ways we retain it is by refreshing. We've got to continue to study and continue to learn and repeat, because our minds, as sharp as they are and as wonderful a creation as they are, they lose some information sometimes. You know, computers do the same thing. Computer program may start to malfunction and you have to reinstall it because somewhere along the line it lost some of the programming. It lost some of its memory. And you have to go back and start again. Well, but the final thing we want to notice is that knowledge can be useless. Some knowledge is useless if the subject is useless. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." He said there's some things that knowledge of that is useless. And I have to say that a lot of the knowledge that's freely available in our society today, even that's pushed as something, you need to know this, is really useless. All of the television shows with all these reality shows and the make-believe shows, the reality shows are make-believe too, but all this, really, it's useless knowledge. It doesn't matter if you know who these people are. It doesn't matter if you know who out in Hollywood married who or divorced who or had a baby by who. It doesn't matter. It's useless knowledge. We even have trivia games, you know, Trivial Pursuit, so that we can see who knows the most about things that don't matter, things that are trivial. You know, we could spend all our time going through the Bible and counting all of the ands, or all of the times the is used, and boy, we'd have knowledge, but it would be useless knowledge. That doesn't matter. So we've got to watch out for studying up on subjects that are useless. And lest I leave anybody out, you know, all of the sports scores, you know, who makes it to the Final Four or to the NFL Championship game or NBA or Major League, it doesn't matter which one it is. That knowledge really is useless. I mean, unless, of course, you work in that industry and you need it for your job to make a living. But for most of us for whom it's just entertainment, you know, it might be a nice diversion for a little while to relax. But to focus on learning all those things, I mean, I knew people, they could tell you the batting average of every Major League Baseball player for the past 10 years. Who cares? I promise you, when you get to heaven and stand at the pearly gates, St. Peter's not going to ask you to name all the famous baseball players. But that's the kind of thing that we spend a lot of time learning all these things. And it doesn't matter. It's useless knowledge. It's trivial. But then, knowledge is useless without understanding. And we kind of touched on that with wisdom a little bit. There's a little bit of difference between understanding and wisdom, but they're very similar ideas. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And so Paul wanted us to be able to understand the knowledge that he had been given. And he'd been given that knowledge miraculously by the Holy Spirit, but then he wrote these things down so that when we read it, we could understand it. And again, that kind of goes back to the withholding it. Boy, if he'd have just kept it secret, not written it down, where would we be today? We wouldn't know what he learned about Christ. And his knowledge would have been lost forever. And then the final thing under that that we want to notice is that it is useless if it is not used. There's the old saying that the one who does not read is no better off than the one who cannot read. See, no matter if you have the knowledge but you don't use the knowledge, it's useless. In fact, sometimes it may be worse than useless. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 17. James there says, "Therefore to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin." So sometimes having knowledge and not using it is actually sinful. It can actually be worse than useless. It can be harmful to you. When we think about the knowledge we have, we talked about the fact that the congregation as a whole, they thought, well, you know, that's our strong point. Well, beware. Because having the knowledge and being puffed up about it is a dangerous thing. Having the knowledge but not using it is a dangerous thing. Having the knowledge but not the understanding and wisdom is a problem. Having the knowledge but not sharing it with others is a problem. See, knowledge can be a good thing. But knowledge can also be a problem area. We need to make sure that the knowledge we have is being used in a good way, that it's useful and a blessing rather than being a curse and useless. If you're here this morning and you've got the knowledge of what God wants you to do, but you haven't done it, you need to start doing it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off. You know what you're supposed to do. James said, if you know the good you're supposed to do and you don't do it, it's a sin. So as long as you know it and yet you continue not to do it, you are living in sin day after day. Don't keep living like that. Now maybe you don't have the knowledge you need. If you don't have the knowledge you need, I bet you know the source to get that knowledge. Get some knowledge. Well, you won't be able to get it all right now, but you start the process of getting that knowledge from God, from His Word. If you have a need to respond this morning for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.